The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here. Second half of the show is live. We've had a busy one already with Reese Davis, Sean Farnham, Jay Billis later on, and right now, Chris Stewart joins us. He is the voice of the Crimson Tide in basketball. And Chris, it's been too long. It's great to hear your voice and to know that you're back doing what you should be doing. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That's awfully nice of you. It's great to be with you. And I got to tell you, I was a little concerned. I mean, you know, I felt like George Gobel on the Tonight Show after he had to follow Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. I mean, you've already had Reese and Sean. You got Billis coming up. But you took care of me as always, Paul. You let me follow Mike from Baton Rouge. So I'm not nearly as worried as I might have been otherwise.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think is Will Wade's uncle. So we will cut him some slack. Chris, thank you very much. You've done Alabama basketball for a number of years through thick and thin. And I'm just curious what this season has been like for you.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was thinking just before we went on, I remember driving back from Tuscaloosa. I had just been told I had the job, but it really seemed real when I heard your Birmingham show and you said, wow, it's just come across. Alabama's got their new basketball announcer, and it's Chris Stewart. And can you believe that was 19 years ago now?
No.
It's crazy. It's been that long, but it has been you're right. I mean, it's always been special for me. It's always Alabama. There have been some great years. My second season, well, my first season at Christmas, Alabama's number one in the country for the only time in school history in basketball. And it was really, really special, exciting. And then had a rough year, barely got in the tournament. The next year was the Elite Eight run. And you're right, there have been some highlights. But unfortunately, over the last decade plus, there's been a lot of bubble watching as it relates to the NCAA first four out, last four in, and to have the conversation this year be, will they be a one seed or a two? That was a lot more fun, I assure you.
I feel badly for myself here, Chris, that in your highlight reel there, you missed it live because it was halftime, and you really have never put it on the reel. The most dramatic moment in Coleman Coliseum history, the biggest beatdown ever for Elizabeth Gottfried over Paul Feinbaum. I think it was right behind you.
Yeah, you know, I had conveniently escaped the building before or as, but I can neither confirm nor deny, but I may have heard about that.
I'll explain that one to the audience a little bit later on for those who missed it live at halftime of the Auburn-Alabama game a number of years ago. But you have seen some really good times, though, and I wanted to bring this up with Reese, but we ran out of time. But people don't understand, I think appreciate, that Alabama basketball has always been really close to greatness. At times, it really was great. As you mentioned, the situation with Gottfried going to the Elite Eight, the Wim Sanderson run was epic. C.M. Newton, people are still talking about the 76 team. But why, Chris, and I realize you're close to the scene there, do you think the country is suddenly like waking up and go, oh, they play basketball at Alabama?
Well, because we haven't been in this spot in a while. I mean, it's been a while since Alabama went into the NCAA tournament with any expectations beyond the first round. And to be on the line right there with a chance for a one seed, to be as a number two, it's been a while. It's been 19 years since Alabama won an SEC title. They haven't won the tournament since 91 when Wimp was the coach. It's the first time since 87. When I was a teenager and you're working for the Post-Herald in Birmingham, rest its soul, and I was just a fan, it's been 87 since Alabama last won the regular season and SEC tournament titles in the same year. To be at this level, it's been a long, long time. And it's nice to have people excited, engaged, and interested again, because you know how my job works, Paul. As the play-by-play announcer, the head basketball coach at the University of Alabama can walk into a restaurant and people will smile politely at him and wave, and then they'll walk over to me and tell me how bad he is if things aren't going well. That's the nature of being the play-by-play announcer at a school. It's part of the greatness, the great things that come with it, but it's also one of the negatives. And I'll simply say I've had a lot of meals interrupted over the last 15 years at various times. It hasn't been as bad as some would think and claim, but it hasn't been at the level we have seen it historically. And I think that's why there's been frustration. It's a storied program that some great success. People know what it can be. And when it falls short of that, there's natural disappointment.
Chris, let's talk about this particular team. And you may have had an inkling before the rest of us. They were not picked to finish slightly above the middle of the pack. When did you start getting the sense this team could really be special?
I said at the start of the year, Paul, I thought the ceiling was incredibly high, and it has not exceeded to this point what I thought it could be. Now, where I had to recalculate, like a lot of other people did, the floor was a little bit lower than we anticipated. When they were sitting there at 4-3 a couple of weeks before Christmas, and you dropped the home game in kind of a bizarre ending against Western Kentucky, and things were not looking good, and you think you're heading towards a mediocre season once again. But Nate Oates made a move that completely changed the season around for Alabama, and I think will completely, history will show, changed the career path for John Petty. Suspended him, really good kid, grown man now, but needed to grow up just a little bit in some areas, and he sent him home. And to his credit, John handled it incredibly well. Went to work, reached back out to Coach Oates and said, I want to do what it takes to help this team get to another level. And in the process, he's going to get himself to a very high level as a professional here 12 months from now. So I think that was a major turning point for this team and for this season. They finally, you know, they had the core group there of Petty and Herb Jones, who's been phenomenal, obviously. Alex Reese, who was part of that signing class together. But they had additional pieces that came in and they had to understand how to play the game together and understand what their roles were with this team. I think you had too many guys that were maybe trying to be unselfish and were deferring too much. And once they understood what their roles were, they've taken off and become a team that could run away as SEC champions and then gut more than one game out in the tournament to become the conference tourney champs as well.
We're chatting with Chris Stewart, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. In terms of basketball, you mentioned 19 years. You've seen so much. I'm curious, Chris, as somebody who's also, you know, done so much other work in that community, in that state, doing shows like this, doing really everything imaginable, just the level of excitement that I'm not there, as you know, but I feel it through the through the airwaves every day. What's it like to be at the epicenter of it?
It's special. I'm getting a lot more phone calls than I've gotten in the past. Certainly shows such as this one. There's a reason, Paul, that you and I haven't talked in a long time, and I hope it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you don't like me. I think it has to do with the team that I cover hasn't been as nationally relevant as they are right now. And so you want to do games that matter. That's as a broadcaster, it's special to get to do this for a living, but you want to call games that matter. And certainly we're at a time of the year where it matters most, and it's nice to have, for people to have expectations for Alabama basketball once again.
Well, Chris, it is good to hear from you. I feel terrible that it has been this long, but I have a feeling that Alabama basketball is going to be in the spotlight for some time, so I do hope you'll come back, even though I'm somewhat tardy in the call.
Not a problem at all, Paul. You know, I'm glad to do it anytime. I appreciate the invitation.
You bet. Chris Stewart, the voice of the Crimson Tide, of course, 19 years, has seen some really good teams and some very mediocre teams that were right on that bubble, as he said. We'll take a break. We still have a long way to go. Rick Harrell at the bottom of the hour on the blockbuster deal, sports deal that was announced just moments ago. And later in the program, Jay Billis on the NCAA basketball tournament.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Baseball coming on right after we go off the air. The SEC season is well underway, and A&M takes on the number 5 ranked Gators. That is at 7 p.m. tonight. Jason is up next, and he is in Texas. So hello, Jason. Thanks for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've called before, and I appreciate you taking it. I love you, man, but I got a bone to pick with you on this Will Wade stuff. If anybody thinks that there isn't money sloshing around in every booster club, in every major college sport in this country, they're naive. Do you really think just because Will Wade got caught red-handed that we should all stand on the side and look down our noses and wag our fingers at him? How much did that Alabama team cost the Alabama boosters? And do you really think the Tua Tagovailoa family paid to move themselves from Hawaii to Alabama? I mean, give me a break, man. Everybody in your industry is invested in keeping up the mythos of this amateurism in college sports, and it's just not the case. We've seen it happen since SMU in the 1980s, and it goes on and on and on. So I don't think anybody has the right to be all sanctimonious about Will Wade just because he got caught red-handed.
Well, Jason, thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Daryl is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul, long-time listener, man. I finally got through.
Well, thank you.
I tuned in today right at the end of the guy, I think it was Mike from Baton Rouge. And I got to tell you, I don't think there's nothing going to come to this either. I don't think they have anything concrete. And what I'm basing this on is, first of all, you got to look at the source. You got to look at who this guy that made, once he didn't get his big money deal, he started putting rolling people under the bus. The tapes that I heard on Will Wade, the only thing I heard was strong ass offer. That's the only thing I heard. I didn't hear any money. And that could be anything. That could be, hey, look, if you come to LSU, you're going to get a good education. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You're going to get it. But I think the strong offer came from, hey, if you come here, your mom's going to be able to travel easy to come see you. I think that was, I never heard anything about money. And matter of fact, was it last year? They kept Smart from playing for about a week, and then they let him play again. So obviously they cleared something there. They wouldn't have let him play it if it wasn't anything there. And I just don't feel like there's anything there after all this time. I don't see how they have anything. What do you think?
I don't know. We've all heard the same thing, and what we haven't heard is what will end up determining his fate. I hope you're right. To me, a lot has been said about this, and we're at the point where we really don't know anything new. We haven't heard anything new in 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while, and if you have something, come on. But
Darryl, the only thing I would say about that is the NCAA has no obligation to tell you or me what's going on. I mean, they're conducting an investigation, and they take their time. I mean, most of these investigations have not come to fruition yet, and at some point they will. There are a bunch of them out there. I think I'm like most of you out there. I don't think the NCAA is really even competent. So, if they accuse me of murder with a tape, I would deny it. I wouldn't give the NCAA anything.
Yeah, based on what I've heard, though, like even the small bit I've heard on the tape, I didn't hear anything concrete. I didn't hear any money offered or anything. Strong ass offer could mean anything. Like I said, that it's important for his mom to come see him play. It's a lot easier for him to come to Baton Rouge than anywhere else. I just think that guy, when he didn't get his big money deal, he started, trying to cover his own self, and he had all these charges pending against him. If I'm going down, I'm gonna show you, And I just don't.
Well, that's usually how it works. I would agree with you on that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Greg is up next in Missouri. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Paul. Hey, it's a great opportunity to be able to speak to such a good journalist and sports analyst like yourself. So, really appreciate the opportunity. Listen. I've always played in brackets at, pools with the guys. Not the case this year. I'm doing nothing but free picks. I personally don't think our Mizzou team has enough, enough gas. They haven't done that well in the past year in just a short pass to be strong enough to go far, maybe past Oklahoma, but that'd be about it. But my question to you, now that here I'm on ESPN, or in your show, just like the big guys and talking with a great guy like yourself, does UConn have a chance to make a run like they have in the past? That's my only question.
If they can get past the first week or two, the first week, I should. I don't think so. I've heard conflicting views, and I really don't know which one it is, but I would go against them.
You'd go against them? Okay. Well, it's just funny how they always seem to have a slick rail through the middle sometimes and just always keep showing up, and I'm just like, are they going to do that again this year?
Yeah, they have had some amazing success in the tournament, but I mean they're well coached. This is the best team they've had in a while, but I'm not a buyer of that. I'm really not. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's move along and talk to Sean, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yeah, Sean, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just had a question. I wonder, Paul, do you think that Clemson has a chance to possibly actually advance in basketball and actually get out of the first round?
I can't remember. Give me their bracket for a second. I keep misplacing mine. Who are they playing in the first game?
They're playing Rutgers. The first game.
No, I, in fact, I think I like Rutgers in that game.
Really? Wow. Okay.
I think Clemson. They have a good program, but Rutgers has had a surprising year. People are not giving them enough credit. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey, go right ahead.
Hey, my friend, how you been?
We're okay. We're okay. What about you?
I'm good, Paul. I'm down at Gulf Shores, Alabama, in the condo with the ribs and the shrimp and the Blue Moon beer going today.
Man, listening to you. I like it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Paul, out of the four playing games tonight, which game are you looking forward to watching the most or you care about the most?
Yeah, I'm probably more intrigued by UCLA.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. I think most of the nation would be also. Is the only way it's the last game at 9:37 at night because UCLA being from the West Coast?
No.
Because
No. That's just the.
Why not put that game earlier?
Well, Trey, that's the NCAA tournament. First game just started. Second,
I mean, they're all playing in the same place. It's not like we're traveling around the country like we usually do. We're all in the same place.
Trey,
so I don't understand why that game's not at least around 7 o'clock.
Let me explain. The NCAA tournament, the play-in games usually are on Tuesday and Wednesday night. There's a 7 o'clock game or 6:30 game, and then there's an 8:30 game. So because this is different, they have to get all the games in today. They're stacking them up. First game just started, second game in about 45 minutes, and then then they have a second game of both. And it is tradition. The NCAA always has almost a 10 o'clock game. I've covered a few of them. And
I agree with you.
But remember one thing, though. And I'm sure they put the best game last. Why? Well, you include most of the country. I mean, right now the game that just started at 5:15, it's only 2:15 in L.A. So that game starts in prime time on the West Coast, and that's the thing about sports people don't understand very clearly is that the later you go, interestingly, the better it is. Now, I'm not crazy about it, and you're not crazy about it, but sports fans are not concerned about what time it is.
That was my point. Is it because of the West Coast?
No, it's not even that. No, because if Duke and Syracuse were in that game, it would still be starting at the same time, and they're both East Coast teams.
Okay, I was just wondering. Hey, and Paul, one other thing. I heard a guy call in the other day talking about the Big Ten teams being able to play on their home court or something like that and all. And you know what, Paul? I think we need to just all quit complaining and be thankful we're at least having a tournament. I mean, last year at this time, we were begging for just some basketball. So all this little knick-knack stuff that, in my opinion, shouldn't matter to me, I'm just happy we're being able to watch this.
Trey, I'm with you on that. We have to go to a break. I'm glad we're not complaining about where the games are or what time they start. We will take a break. 855-242-7285. Jay Billis an hour from now. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back, and breaking news from the television front. This has been expected, but the NFL announced deals today with all major networks, including ESPN, and there is plenty to digest in one of the biggest deals ever. Rick Haro, we were going to talk about the tournament with Rick, but Rick, while this has been expected for weeks now, it's still a blockbuster to look at when you try to digest how the NFL pulled this off.
You mean only $90 billion total? What do you think stacking singles would be to get to 90 billion? Would we see it?
No.
All right. I have no idea what 90 billion is. I can think about 90 billion, but I have no idea. And listen, who else is there? It's Amazon as the new guys on the block, which will do the Thursday night package. The Thursday night package also has the local overlay, which is good. But the Amazon deal becomes the new DirecTV deal. Everybody years ago said, who the heck is DirecTV and why are they in the middle of this? Well, the NFL is incredibly creative because they nurture these networks that have become networks, and then they have them bid against each other and open up more bidders in the categories. It is brilliant. It's like the way you bid for your service.
Rick, the Amazon deal, I know that's direct-to-consumer. Will the game still be on NFL Network as well, which is part of the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that Amazon will be direct-to-consumer, but you can get Amazon Prime. And then the one thing they guaranteed in the press release, so so we got to figure out exactly what happens. Is it the local markets involved in that particular Thursday night game? We'll get it on local TV. What they did not say is whether the NFL network will carry the games that are also available on Amazon Prime. I think they might, but I'm not totally sure. We'll find out.
Yeah, you know, what's so interesting, this deal comes almost a year to the day that the entire sports world shut down, and we were all talking to you and listening to experts try to figure out whether the sports world, what the sports world would look like when it came back. I mean, is there one iota difference if we had not had COVID and now that we have had it with this contract?
I would go out on a limb to say that it might even be worth more today. Why? Well, first, people understand the value of staying home and watching. It basically saved the sports industry, and so you got to give that credit. But second, you know, Gary Bettman will admit that 8 years ago he didn't know what streaming meant. We might have had interesting discussions about it. Now, the other deal is that the NHL and and ESPN, your network, have reached a deal through 2028 for $2.8 billion in hockey. And why? Well, because ABC is going to carry 25 games, as will ESPN, but 1,000 regular season games will be what? Streamed. So we fell in love with streaming on devices. We now understand, finally, that it doesn't really matter what you're watching. It's who's watching and how many eyeballs. And the NFL and the NHL have understood it and are now paying up.
And I realize we have a lot of young watchers and listeners who are probably consuming this on their iPhone. But for the older generation, I don't want to scare them. Can you explain to them what the future looks like?
No, not without scaring them. So do we have radios in our house? I'm going to go back and take a look at how many traditional radios we've got.
I have a shower radio.
You and I together will probably have it on one hand. So let's not scare anybody by saying in a couple of years we will have maybe one device. That will be a TV. It'll be a radio. It'll be a phone. It'll be a computer. And the reality is that it doesn't really matter what you have because you can get everything you want. And then the question is, what is the news and content? Well, now you want it on 4-minute sound bites. You don't need it on 30-minute deals. Talk show hosts like you will survive because you got great content and your personality. But a lot of people will have other choices and go do other things. That's scary. The scary thing is people who are out there and competing to do good content, they better step up because now we have more choices than ever.
And when it comes to live, I mean, we have seen just a torrent of news announcements. The SEC in December announced its mega deal for the afternoon slot on Saturday that is currently with CBS. The NHL move. I've lost track of things in what we all thought, as I mentioned a minute ago, was a depressed economy for sports. But is anything else surviving as well as sports right now?
No, but it doesn't really have to be live sports. So on the other hand, look, salary cap, very easy to understand. Tickets and television, total in a bucket, divided by 32. And that's basically your salary cap. And it went down 8%, but look at all of the signings. And look at what the NFL is doing. So they'll recover, and this couldn't have come at a better time because now teams want to bank on the future, and we know television revenues will kick in. Now we got it to 2033. So hold on to your hats. We got more money coming in, and television / media, let's call it media, is the anchor to all of this.
So Rick, let's jump ahead a couple of years. You're a consultant. You teach. You can't live in the present. Three to 5 years from now, how different is this landscape going to look?
It'll look closer to the way it is today than it was 3 to 5 years ago. Put it that way. And the reason is because we're going to consolidate devices. We're going to have one rating system that, thankfully, it's about time, rates everybody watching something. Then we'll be able to judge efficiently what we're able to watch and how we're watching it, and the rights fees will reflect that. The television / content that's live, that is reality show television, meaning football, basketball, hockey, baseball, other sports where we do not know the results, that still is the driver of all the networks. You know, we can pontificate, you can have your show, but at the end of the day, we all need our live sports with uncertain endings, gambling and otherwise. That will carry the day. So when you think about it, it will be a brave new world because of some extra zeros, but it may not change that much. The only difference is you and I will be considerably older.
And Rick, since I've been at ESPN almost 8 years, and I've been hearing about direct-to-consumer since the day I got here. It took a while for it to happen, but let's look ahead 10 years. You said 3 to 5, it's not going to be dramatically different. 10 to 15, what is the next? What will be the next hot thing that nobody or maybe somebody has already thought of that will become a multi-billionaire that maybe the rest of us need to start thinking about?
Well, if I can come up with it, you and I will have the conversation so we can invent it and make money on it. But I will tell you that I really do think that the consolidation and the pandemic has taught us this. The idea of in-stadium entertainment experiences and at-home entertainment experiences with devices may be one thing. And I don't know exactly what I mean other than, you realize that the television studios these days have been the ballparks. We've had a year of effectively no fans, so view it as TV studios, but yet the content has a bit been different when you go to a stadium versus when you take your feeds of ESPN at home. I think in the next few years there will be very little difference, and there'll be one set of stuff. Now, does that mean we're going to have less and less people go to games? Well, maybe in certain cases, but with the SEC, people love to congregate, and when they have the ability to do it again, they're going to love to be at games for that reason. But maybe the content becomes the same whether you're at a stadium or whether you're at home.
That's cool. Don't have to go to the game. Just make believe I'm there. Rick, thank you. This is fascinating stuff. Great timing, and we will talk to you very soon.
All right, we'll do March Madness sometime soon.
We need to do it. But that was today's topic, right out the window. Rick Harl joining us, the great sports analyst, Harvard Law professor. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back, and Jamie is up next. Hey, Jamie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
So how's that headline going to read in the morning? NFL cuts salary cap, signs $90 billion TV deal. Did the federal government have something to do with that? Sounds like they're running the show on that deal.
The NFL knows how to do it.
But doesn't it just read funny?
It does read funny.
It just reads funny, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh man! Hey, first let me say something to Trey. Brother, I'm up here in Huntsville building a new hospital. If these games are so inconvenient that you can't enjoy them sitting in a condo on the beach sipping a Blue Moon, I'll swap places with you for the weekend.
Yeah, Jamie, I found the contradiction there. He ended by saying, let's just be thankful we have basketball, but his preamble was, I can't believe the game starts so late.
Yeah, exactly. I just kind of, what? But
I mean, a year ago this weekend, we were watching a wood chopping contest on ESPN.
I was about to say, does everybody forget what they were doing this time last year? We had a little bit bigger problem than what time UCLA was going to play their play-in game. So, just a public service announcement, everybody, please stop calling in and complaining about anything to do with the NCAA tournament other than maybe what your seed is and who you got to play in the first round. Because, listen, I'm just tickled to death that these kids that have worked so hard and were so heartbroken and disappointed. I mean, we stopped it in the middle of conference tournaments, folks. So just be glad that these kids are getting a chance to play, and we're going to have some nets cut down here in a few weeks. And just hope and pray that everything goes as well as it can, and, you know, we don't have any major incidents and breakouts. And, you know, God bless everybody that's trying to pull this thing off, because we desperately need it. And, yeah, everybody, man, just come on. Just go crack you a cold one, sit down in front of the TV, and just watch and enjoy. Paul, God bless you. Thank you very
much. Thank you, Jamie. Always great to hear from you. Thank you. Tucker is up next. Hey, Tucker, thank you, and good afternoon.
Yes. Yes?
Yeah, Tucker, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
I've been listening to all this basketball, and I must admit, I know very little about it, but there's a just cause to that. In 1964, at Ole Miss, when the basketball coach was moved to the freshman football coach, the headline in the student paper was, basketball coach promoted. And I don't think Ole Miss since that time has been to the NCAA but two or three times, and never went past the first round. But there's a reason when the basketball coach is promoted to freshman football coach.
Sounds like a good promotion to me.
Well, I believe the coach's name was Crawford, but at my age, I'm lucky to remember 64.
Well, I'm glad you did, and Tucker, you take care of yourself, and thanks for sharing that with us. It was interesting. I'll go back and check that. Kevin is in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again.
Of course.
Help me with something here, brother.
You got it.
And if you don't have the answer, ask Billis, please, when he comes on in a few minutes. Ever since the NCAA has gone to 68 teams, that is the four play-in games, I don't know, I think it was 1985 or so, they seed those teams, and I've never got my head around if those are the play-in eight schools, shouldn't they be the 16th and the 15th teams in each of the regionals, as opposed to what they've been doing forever, is they put a 16 playing this year, a 12 or an 11th seed sometimes. I just don't get the logic here. I mean, if it's
I'm trying to remember, Kevin.
Can you catch my drift on this?
Yeah, I don't think I think it started far more recently than 85. I think it happened 10 to 15 years ago. I thought maybe originally they just had like one play-in game or two play-in games with the 16s, and I think some people felt that was discriminatory. So then I do not. That's a great question, though, because the other games are 11 seeds, aren't they?
Yes, 11 and 12 every year playing one of the last, the 16th or the 15th in any regional. And it's pretzel logic. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that obviously I think each school makes for their conference that you divided, however the conference is divided, I think they make $285,000
right
every time they're in it. And then if they move on, they make another $285,000, and it's divided by their conference, however formula they have. But I don't know. Is it to give a break to the one bid?
Yeah, I think that is. Kevin, it's a great question, and I'm going to get the answer pretty soon. I don't think we need to wait for Billis. But I think they were also looking for more competitive games on the first two nights.
Yeah, but logically to me, it should be the 16th seed in every.
Yeah, but what you're doing though is you're adding two additional quality teams versus just going down to the very bottom of the seed. But I'll get you an answer on that. That shouldn't be too difficult with all the brilliant people we have watching, listening, and working behind the scenes. We will take a break. We still have an hour to go. Sean Farnham has dropped by. Reese Davis. I heard Chris Stewart, the voice of the Crimson Tide. Haro there on the NFL blockbuster. Jay Billis is 30 minutes away. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.